But tonight, folks, and bear with me, because this will be, as my wife said, you sound like an engineer. And she is not wrong in that. The title for tonight's study is Evolution Personified. And you'll understand a little more why I gave it that title here. But first, I'm going to go to Genesis 1:11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. I have pondered this verse for a while and considered the explanation of stating things like the fruit tree yielding fruit whose seed is in itself. As an exercise in explanation and reasoning, I lent personification to evolution and considered evolution as giving explanation for how things are. I gave evolution a voice to be able to answer questions. Evolution states that everything that it has made to come about started maybe 14 billion years ago through a Big Bang. But throughout the entirety of that time, or shall I say, just a short blink of an eye that man has existed in a way to understand any explanation, the one question that has never been answered by evolution is, why? Conditions were never such that it gave reasoning, nor is there ever any semblance of love. So through all the passage of so-called evolutionary time, there is never an indication of reasoning for existence. Thus, replacing God with evolution gives us a broad lackening of reasoning, of reason. As I see it, evolution can only answer the question why with because. So, in returning back to creation and God being the creator of all things, we can ask the question why and come up with an answer. God desired it. God designed it, and God had a purpose in mind for its ultimate culmination. God gave it purpose. God gave creation purpose. God purposed us in himself. So the following are answers to questions posed to the internet. What was before the universe? The universe materialized literally out of nothing. At a tiny but finite size and expanded thereafter. There were no moments before the moment of smallest size because there was no before. Likewise, there was no creation of the universe, since that concept implies action in time. How many universes are there? To be sure, all cosmologists accept that there are some regions of the universe that lie beyond the reach of our telescopes, but somewhere on the slippery slope between that and the idea that there is an infinite number of universes, credibility reaches a limit. Creating mathematical computations and using a vivid imagination usually accounts for the answers that we hear about but are unsubstantiated. How much is our universe worth? Don't ask me why I thought about that one, but here's the answer. The universe is technically priceless, but estimates for the observable universe can be made. One estimates a value of 60 septillion. Based on the value of the Earth multiplied by the number of galaxies. However, any monetary value is a human construct and ultimately doesn't apply to the universe, especially since it contains unknown elements like dark matter and energy and is potentially infinite. Potentially infinite. Remember that one. Notice that an inanimate object has determined the universe to this question is relatively incalculable. The answer to this question is relatively incalculable due to the possible nature of an infinitesimal measure of the universe. This definitely sets the guidelines for the next question as well. What is outside the universe? What lies beyond the universe? We are not sure, but can theorize what lies beyond the universe that we know. Outside the bounds of our universe may lie a super universe, space outside space that extends infinitely into what our little bubble of a universe may expand into forever. Seems to be kind of a counter of explanation or lending to another possibility. Let's see, Tony, how did life form in the universe? Don't get ahead of me, dude. I'm getting there. So, let's see. Let me look at my notes again here, because it looks like I might have cut a little bit of this off. Yes, there we go. How did life form in the universe? Life likely formed through a process of abiogenesis, where non-living matter organized into the first living cells through a series of steps. First, the formation of simple organic molecules, then the evolution of self-replicating molecules, and finally, the assembly of these components into cells with membranes. These organic molecules and building blocks of life were likely created in early stars and distributed across the universe by events like supernovas, with the necessary conditions for life eventually arising on planets like early Earth. Abiogenesis is the scientific theory that life on Earth originated from non-living matter through natural processes. This process suggests that over millions of years, simple organic molecules formed and organized into more complex structures, eventually leading to the first self-replicating cells. Now, I hope this isn't getting too broad for anybody and getting to be mind-numbing. It is a gradual chemical and physical process distinct from the outdated idea of spontaneous generation. And it is believed to have occurred before biogenesis, the principle that all life comes from pre-existing life. If you notice, the theory changed from spontaneous generation, therefore rewritten with the idea that there was pre-existing life. So the first theory didn't work. We have to come up with a new theory. What is the reason for life in the universe. There is no single scientific consensus on a purpose for life. Instead, scientific and religious explanations offer different perspectives. Scientifically, life may be a natural outcome of the universe's physical laws, arising from chemical processes like the formation of organic molecules and the conditions on early Earth. Religiously, many belief systems, such as Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, propose that the purpose of life is to worship a divine creator or follow a spiritual path. Next question. Is creation the most reasonable explanation for life on Earth? Whether creation is the most reasonable explanation for life on Earth depends on one's perspective. As scientific and religious philosophical viewpoints differ significantly. For a scientific standpoint, the theory of evolution is considered the most reasonable explanation, supported by a vast body of evidence and the scientific method. However, creationism is viewed by many as a valid and reasonable explanation based on faith, scripture, and arguments for intelligent design, particularly concerning the origins of life. Which is not yet fully explained by science. Again, we have this answer at the end, to which the assumption of the origin of life in a lot of cases is not fully explained by science. And we'll jump to Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The counter to this verse of scripture is that an evolution, everything, came to be from nothing and for no apparent reason. Again, the question begs, why? And we'll look at John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Although there are those that don't want to believe it, it still stands that an answer to why is definitely given in Scripture. And I want to go back over that again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. There's a why. There's an answer to why. And then John 1:4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. God's creative activities cannot be explained in terms of natural laws. Neither are they subject to the above limits. Creation is a singular event by which the present natural laws came into existence. Concerning these creative acts, one can only look so far across this event horizon as God reveals in His Word. That which God has revealed in Holy Scripture is therefore fundamental and irrefutable information which cannot be obtained otherwise. God exists. And this is clearly defined in the beginning of all Scripture. God's existence doesn't come about later in Scripture, but in beginning. God is also not here just to explain the things that have not been explained by science. Otherwise, those things that science may be able to explain could be used to further distract from or diminish God's involvement and push towards explaining God away completely. Understanding creation can only be met through a biblical context. Biblical revelations are the key for understanding this world. The Bible is the foundational source of knowledge regarding creation. The current scientific natural laws do not pertain to the 6 days of work that God took for creation. The natural laws are not applicable, for instance, to Adam. Adam was created to be an adult, per se, and therefore did not have a childhood or a natural birth. The trees came into existence and maturity with immediacy. The creatures came into existence and maturity with immediacy. Even though the stars and planets are a great distance, the light was brought forth to the night sky with immediacy. I now have an answer as to which came first, the chicken or the egg. So, now, the following scriptures were a message to Israel. Deuteronomy 4:2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Proverbs 30:6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Revelation 22:18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And Revelation 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The last question I asked the internet was whether there is an end to evolution. And here's the answer. No. Evolution does not have an ending because it is an ongoing process of cumulative change driven by mechanisms like mutation, natural selection, and genetic drift. And I will say that when you believe in evolution, you have to have these reasons to explain. You can't just explain it with one reason. You got to have, well, there's mutations, there's natural selection, there's genetic drift. No, you're stacking the deck in your favor. Evolution is not goal-oriented and will continue as long as organisms are reproducing, with the only ultimate end being extinction. That seems relatively simple, but in the final analysis, it does not, evolution that is, explain the human particular attributes. Our existence in this world is so far separated from the other creatures that the logic does not, the logic dictates the belief in creation. As far as the end of creation is concerned, I give you this line of scripture. Revelation 10:6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Full stop, as Cecil says. Thus the angel that John saw was proclaiming that the Lord's business at hand was coming to fruition. Purpose and reasoning is in Scripture and not found in any possible understanding of evolution. So the question begs, which appears to be more plausible or appears to be more logical? This, my friends, is a question I leave you with. Thank you. Father in heaven, this evening, I would hope was good to your ears and edifying to those people that are listening, the loved ones here that are listening. I myself find it very fulfilling to be able to be in their company and to be able to do things like this, to be able to present these studies. Sometimes my thoughts, but more so my belief, my shared belief, and my shared faith. Please give us all rest this evening and give us another sunrise to see. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.